Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host Jim Hobgood on New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year. Good to have you back, by the way. You know, it's been a while.
It's good to be back in the studio.
You're looking well.
I feel good.
Red holiday tie on. I always have to compliment the attire. You
know? How about that? Yeah. It's amazing. I had help, wife and daughter.
That goes without saying.
Yes. Yeah. The Virginia basketball team bounced back nicely, as expected, against those pesky Wofford Terriers who, coming in, probably felt pretty confident following Virginia's egg that they laid at the Coliseum versus ODU.
But am I right? Wofford had beaten Xavier,
which
earlier?
Is a little surprising. I'm going to go have to look up Xavier's record this year because that seems like a shocker to me. But anyhow, the Wahoos were led by Joe Harris, Akeel Mitchell, Mike Toby, and surprisingly, Doug Broman had a heck of a game, and UVA just throttled them with an excellent second half. Meanwhile, the UVA football coaching staff this week should gain some new additions. And meanwhile, recruiting enters the final month, and we're going to get a good report on that later in the show about National Signing Day, which is coming up on February the 6th. Anyhow, we're glad that you joined us.
We're glad that you joined us. Again, happy New Year, or happy Who Year for our listeners. And it is indeed good to have Frank back in the studio in his normal chair. I know he's feeling better. He's come in here. He's gruff. He's ornery and all that kind of stuff. So Frank is back. At any rate, he indicated second half hour tonight we will have Chris Horn talking recruiting and other things related primarily to football. First half hour, we will have our friend Ted Jeffries, who's the current analyst on the Virginia Radio Network for men's basketball. This is Ted's second year, so he has been courtside for the first 13 games, so he can break down the progress of the team and sort of look ahead to the ACC schedule, which begins next Sunday with a really big game against North Carolina. So 18 games left in the regular season, all conference games, so a lot to look forward to in that regard starting next Sunday. But at any rate, normally we have Chris Sill. He's not with us today, but he'll be back next week. But Frank will tell you how you can follow the show.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to post their comments on Facebook. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. Normally, we ask you to call in tonight. We would like to pass on that, as their show had to be pre-recorded due to various festivities and scheduling conflicts. But as you might imagine, next week, January the 7th, on Monday night, we'll be back, and you can call us and ask questions of our guests and so forth. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app and listen live on their smartphone. Your comments are always welcome, and we do factor them into all of our shows.
Yeah, smartphone, iPad, computer, whatever. You can download that iHeartRadio app, and it really is convenient to listen, regardless of where you are, to the show. But at any rate, as Frank said earlier, Wahoo's 10-3. Not too bad. I mean, you know, some good news, some bad news on the 10-3. As Frank said, they really did lay an egg here in Richmond against Old Dominion. Now, you know, you can say all you want that Old Dominion is a lot better than 1-10. I guess 2-10 now. I don't know if they've played since then or not, but still, that's a game that the Wahoos needed to find a way to win, and they didn't. So I think my guess is that they had some spirited practices this week because, you know, as a former player, I can tell you, you never want to make the coach angry. And Coach Bennett doesn't impress me as the type that gets real angry. But my guess is they ruined his Christmas, and he was probably not happy about that.
You know, Tony Bennett was not a happy camper. I have it from a reliable source that upon leaving the court at the Coliseum at that final buzzer and headed to the locker room, Coach Bennett uncharacteristically was throwing some strong language around, which is very unusual for him, and I'm pretty certain he was disappointed possibly in the not only the players but also the coaching staff himself. And you know, it happens sometimes. You go to a game like that and you underestimate the opponent, and I would say seated courtside, I felt like Virginia was not into the game at the outset. And I was disappointed by that, but you could see that coming. That was obvious.
I think we have our first guest on, Ted Jeffries, a man that needs very little introduction. Ted, former star player at the University of Virginia. He coached at Coastal Carolina, William & Mary. If I'm missing someplace, Ted, let me know. He now works back for the University Alumni Association, I believe. And as I said, second year as analyst. Ted, maybe we can take the bitter first, and then we'll get to the sweet. Frank was just talking about the Old Dominion game. I don't want to bring up sore subjects, but what was your assessment of what happened Saturday, the December 22nd?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you what. I think that the effort was there from the Cavaliers in the sense that they, again, I think they played hard. Unfortunately, they just were not able to defend well in that game. A lot of penetration into the paint, a lot of penetration and kick by Old Dominion, and then they had no answer for Batten, the kid who got hot and torched them from the outside, hit a flurry of three-point shots, big shots. They just didn't defend well in that game.
And, Ted, this is Frank, and thank you for joining us here on New Year's Eve. Ted, one of the things that seems strange to me, particularly of late, is Virginia's having a hard time offensively getting going at the beginning of games. And the game against Wofford was really no different. The difference being, though, that on defense, Virginia was their old self again, thank goodness, through what Jim surmised were probably some terrific practices. But Virginia's not scoring points in the first half of these games. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, Frank, first, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for having me. But I would say that I think it would be unfair to say that statement for this team based upon the holiday breaks.
Right.
I think it's tough for a young team or any team in general to come out hot and fresh after, you know, some time off. You know, you got the mental kind of relaxation period when you're going home dealing with family and holidays and stuff like that. But I think it, you know, to your point though, you know, because this is such a young team, they're still trying to find themselves even after a stretch of what, 8 games in a row, I believe it was.
Yes.
They're still trying to find their identity. They are, you know, they started out the season point guard by committee without Tevin Jones, without Jontel Evans, you know. So when they got Tevin involved, he's been solid at best, and that's what we needed him to do. And you know, unfortunately, they just haven't found their stride yet. And that's, I don't think that's uncharacteristic for a young program.
All right. Well, that's perfectly understandable. Let's talk about this whole point guard situation, which almost seems like a chamber of horrors, I think, for Coach Bennett and the other coaches on his staff. It seems like Tevin Jones has overachieved in many respects. And then yesterday, surprisingly, Doug Broman, who nobody probably thought would ever see the floor except in mop-up duty, has a pretty darn good game. And I think he had like 6 assists. What's that all about? And then can you give us any idea, is Jontel Evans going to play again?
Yeah, that, you know, I'll start with the last question. And the simple answer for me is I just don't know. I think they are being very cautious with his injury, and they're trying to bring him along as the injury will allow. So I don't know what Jontel's status is. Regarding Doug Brownman, I mean, it was clear from my vantage point yesterday that Doug Brownman brought a defensive intensity. He really dug into Carl Cochran, their leading scorer for Wofford, made it a tough night for him and anybody he guarded. He just brought the tenacity that I think the program needed coming off of the Old Dominion loss. And seeing that was the big reason why they weren't able to guard Doug was that spark, along with Akil Mitchell, in my opinion, that kind of turned up the meter a little bit defensively, and he brought such a, you know, just a he just dogged every person that he guarded for Wofford yesterday, and that's why he played and stayed on the court.
Ted, and by the way, we're visiting with Ted Jeffries, former Cavalier and current radio analyst for the Hoos. You know, Brauman is not necessarily out of the hobo school. I'm looking at the box score. He played 23 minutes and didn't take a shot. I don't think I had too many games like that. At any rate, you know, the one thing that has impressed me this year is the development of Darian Atkins and Akeel Mitchell. As a big guy, talk a little bit about their development and how much they've progressed since last year.
Oh, I think they've grown exponentially. You know, it was surprising to me when we sat down, Dave Kane and I sat down with Tony Bennett in the beginning of the season to talk about, you know, the how the team looked and what was he excited about. And he talked about how he thought that Darian had made the biggest improvement out of anybody on their program. And, you know, I was beside myself. I was like, wow, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Because I wasn't exactly sure how the kid was going to pan out. I knew he was freakishly athletic. I knew that he had the potential to be a great defender, shot blocker. We've seen guys like that. I played with Chris Alexander, who was very similar in scope with his athletic ability, shot blocking ability. But I just never knew if he was going to develop offensively. But you know, to Darian's credit, the work that he put in this summer is, you know, it's clear that he is put in the time. He's a much better player. You know, he's still trying to figure out how to hold the post. I think he's got some. He's got a beautiful soft touch. He and Mike Toby both have beautiful soft touches around the rim. Mike Toby's, you know, you saw a little bit about left and right yesterday, but you know, Darian's. As he gets stronger, as he gets more acclimated to the being in the post, playing with his back to the basket, developing a few more moves, you know, he's going to be, I think, a formidable opponent here in, for Virginia or for other teams in the conference as he grows. And Akeel Mitchell, I think, you know, you could see the confidence is exuding from him. In the early part of the season, I think it was just about him finishing. He had more confidence in his offensive moves on the block. You know, he's physically stronger after a year. And, you know, you see the difference from the confidence that he shoots better from the free throw line as well this year. So, you know, these guys are putting in the work and it's paying off for him. And it's obviously for the betterment of the Virginia program that these guys are playing well.
Well, we've got to touch on Joe Harris. Is Joe settling into his role as being the go-to number one option on offense, and is he comfortable with that? And I'm asking that just from the standpoint of this is a big shift for him because I think his style of play is almost like the silent assassin moving around the perimeter, waiting for the opening to drill you with a couple of bombs. And this year we've got to run the offense through him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's kind of a leader where he's not going to be so much the rah-rah guy, but he will definitely take on the challenge of getting a basket when needed. And I think the coaching staff and his teammates believe that he is that guy. I don't know Joe well enough to be able to say that he has accepted this role and he seems like he's going to be the guy that's going to put this team on his back when needed. But I think he's already done it by example. I thought that he did a great job late in the game against Old Dominion of being the guy who wanted the ball late and hitting the big shots to keep these guys, keep Virginia in that game. You know, obviously he played a fantastic game at Wisconsin. I mean, I thought that was his best game this season, probably maybe one of the best of his career.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. In fact, in that game, I was begging him to shoot more.
Right. So, you know,
it was the story of my career.
They did not. They said, get the ball to Park Hill.
Ted, how about we got about a minute before we go to break, and we're going to carry you over the break if that's okay with you. Just a real quick assessment of the freshmen. I know Mike Toby had a terrific game yesterday, but talk about Nolte, Anderson, and Toby in particular.
Well, okay, Mike Toby, you know, I think he, again, you can't teach size, and Jim, you know better than I, and just as much as I do, we benefit from being big guys. And Mike Toby being a true footer, as I said yesterday on the air, being a, you know, 6'10", 6'11", we'll round up and give him 7 foot clean. You know, he has a beautiful stroke, beautiful touch. He, you know, obviously never saw a shot he didn't like.
He's my kind of guy.
Yeah, I played with a bunch of those guys. So, you know, I think as he continues to develop right now, he's challenged defensively a little bit laterally, which is not, you know, uncharacteristic for big guys his size. You know, being able to guard guys in the post is going to be a challenge for him as he gets stronger. And then he works on his feet, you know, but he's got a nice touch around the rim. I was surprised. He shot it from everywhere yesterday. He's inside, over left shoulder, over right shoulder, you know, left hand, right hand. He shot a three-pointer. He shot the mid-range jumper. I mean, he showed the full arsenal. The only thing he didn't do is put it on the deck for two or three dribbles and drive to the rim and dunk it. But, you know,
hey, Ted, again, can you hold that thought for a minute? We got to go to break right now. We'll bring you back after the break and let you finish this comment and also look forward to Carolina.
Absolutely.
All right. We're visiting with Ted Jeffries. We'll be back. Who's talking after these messages?